42nd Psalm and verse number 1, the Word of God says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 5. We trust the Lord will bless it this morning for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. As we journey through the Psalms, perhaps in our own Bible readings, we find that as the people of God, the psalmist faces similar circumstances and experiences as our own. There are many times that we can be under siege by the foe. There are times perhaps when we are rejoicing in what God has done and in who God is. Or perhaps we are finding the trials of life burdensome as they press upon us. However, there is a trial that this psalmist faced that sadly many who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ never truly experience, that of prolonged absence from the ordinances of worship. Perhaps we can relate to the psalmist here, when we have found ourselves absent from the Lord's house due to circumstances beyond our control. Perhaps if we have been sick, or perhaps if we have been away on holiday, we have not been able to attend the house of God as we normally do. And therefore, perhaps like the psalmist, we find ourselves disheartened, or perhaps longing instead to be at the house of God, but at that point in time, we are unable to do so. But however, throughout the professing Church of Christ, there are many who do not really seem to be concerned, do not really seem to be disheartened when they are unable to be in attendance. When we think of this psalm, it is the cry of one who is far removed from the worship of God in the sense of the temple, or more historically accurate, tabernacle worship. The psalmist here is downcast. He's struggling with doubts and fears, but he holds on to his belief in the living and true God of heaven. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said that most of the Lord's family have sealed on the sea, which is here so graphically described, a longing to be at the house of God, but being unable to be to do so. But it is believed that this particular psalm refers to the experience of David during his flight from Absalom. Others have said that it perhaps refers to his time fleeing from Saul, who sought to take his life. But there is, therefore, a particular view that David was perhaps the author of this psalm. The psalm before us today is an instructive psalm. If you notice the title, that is what is inferred from the title, that it was a psalm that instructed the people of God. And such a psalm is to edify the people of God, the aim being to build them up or to encourage them in the knowledge and in the experience of the Lord. And as we consider just a brief portion of this psalm this morning, may we glean much from the Lord. We need to be instructed by him. We need to have our hearts touched by his word. And I want us to consider as we look at this psalm, desire for the Lord. Desire for the Lord, or the psalmist's desire for his God. That is what these verses are about. The psalmist had in the very depths of his soul a desire for his God. And we see firstly the attention in this desire, the attention in this desire. Simply put, the attention of the psalmist is found focused upon the Lord. He was the one whom the psalmist desired. He says in verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." There's a great intensity in those words. We'll come to that. But firstly, the psalmist was one whose attention was on the Lord God of heaven. The desire that he had, that is being expressed in this psalm, is an attention that is upon the God of heaven. He was the one whom the psalmist desired. And when we think of these things, as the people of God, our attention ought always to be focused upon the Lord. In the period in the psalmist's life that is in view here, he was away from the place where the Lord was publicly worshipped. He was not found engaging and participating in the various ordinances in the worship of God. But yet we find that there is a longing and a desire for his God. If he could be found there, he would have been. But he's not. And therefore, this desire is expressing itself. And it's a desire that is focused upon the Lord. And child of God, we can learn from this. Because our attention ought always to be on the God of heaven. Sadly, many times in our lives, we can get sidetracked by the things of this world, by perhaps other people. We can be sidetracked by sin. We can be sidetracked by those things that are not in and of themselves sin, but they can come between us and the Lord. And we can be sidetracked so that our attention is not always focused upon the God of heaven. Sometimes, like Peter, when we get out of the boat and we're standing like Peter was on the sea. He was focused upon the Savior, but when his eyes went off Christ, he began to sink. And we can sometimes be like Peter. Our eyes are on the Savior. Then we look around us and our attention goes away from the God of heaven. And the psalmist here was in a position where there were circumstances around him. We see in verse number 3, there were those, obviously adversaries, who continually say unto me, "Where is thy God?" He was in a sorrowful place. He was in a lonely place. And there were those who were coming alongside and saying, "Where is thy God? Where is thy God?" And when we face the circumstances of life, it is very easy to be sidetracked. Very easy to focus upon what is going on around us. And to forget to place our focus upon the God of heaven. When we consider the scriptures, we can think there in Exodus chapter 14. The people of God went to the Red Sea. They complained. They murmured. They longed to be in Egypt rather than standing at the wilderness and at the sea and with the Egyptians coming toward them. They began to complain. They looked at the circumstances. They looked at what was going on around them. And they realized, well, we've made a mistake. We'd have been far better staying put in the land of slavery than following Moses to the edge of the sea. Their attention was upon their circumstances. But the attention of the servant of God was on the Lord. Was on the Lord. Moses cried unto the Lord. Moses had told the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we see a great difference between the people of Israel and the servant of God, Moses. For he was one who, despite those circumstances, still had a faith, still had a trust, still had his eyes focused upon the God of heaven. And child of God, our attention, no matter what circumstances bring, And especially if circumstances are difficult, our attention ought always to be upon the God of heaven. The first commandment simply says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we see that as we live our lives, we can focus on things that are other gods. We can place the attention that God desires and God demands upon other things. When we face circumstances, we can look to other things and not the God of heaven. But as the psalmist here, we should always be desirous of His presence. When we think of the context here, we should be desirous of being present at the worship of God. But we note a number of things here regarding the reason of the psalmist's desire to be with the Lord. And we see firstly here that as he focused upon the Lord, there was a consecration to the Lord. A consecration to the Lord. And that a particular word, I remember hearing it for the first time, or it registered for the first time at the Easter Convention many, many, many years ago. And some of the young people might remember, and well, some of those who used to be young people might remember as well, that the Reverend Brian Green from London used to preach at the Easter Convention on a Friday evening. And I remember going with my youth fellowship to that particular service many, many years ago. I was very, very young in those days. And he spoke about this particular term. And he spoke about the dedication that we ought to have to the Lord. We sang that hymn, I believe, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to me." Are our lives consecrated to the Lord? We see in the Scriptures that there ought to be personal consecration to the Lord. "My son," it says in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." A call to a personal consecration. And when we think of 2 Kings chapter 23, we'll turn to it. 2 Kings chapter 23. And the verses 2 and 3. And we have here Josiah. He was the king of Judah. And verse 22 tells us that he was 8 years old when he became king. And well, there may be those here 8 years old, and you might think, well, it would be great to be a king at 8 years old. And well, this king was a good king. He was a godly king. And during the course of his reign, a book was found in the temple. And verse 2 tells us, "And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord." These people, the people of Israel, those who were in authority, came and they heard what was found in the word of God. They heard with their ears what was found in the Scriptures. And boys and girls, you will know that, well, it's important to hear, it's important to listen. And when your parents tell you to do something, well, you listen. But listening is only a part of it. If you listen to your parents telling you to go and tidy your room, well, if you listen, well, that's good. But there's more to it than listening. You have to obey. You have to carry it out. You have to do it. Your parents will not say, "Well done for listening," when you haven't done a single thing that they said. You may have heard it, but you actually have to go and do it. And in verse 3, we have this happening. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant or a promise before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They made a promise. They didn't just listen. They didn't just hear. They made a promise to keep the commandments and the testimonies and the statutes of God, to make it their pillar, to make it the foundation of their life. They heard, they obeyed, and they did. And that is what consecration is. Hearing what the Lord is saying, listening to what the Lord is saying, doing what the Lord commands. And the psalmist here had a desire. His attention was focused upon the Lord. And there was a consecration. There was also a communion. A communion. The psalmist also seeks the Lord. And one of the reasons is because he seeks communion and fellowship with the God of heaven. And as the people of God, we need to have fellowship. We need to have communion with the Lord. We need to meet with Him. The language of this psalm indicates that the psalmist was seeking after the Lord for fellowship and for communion with Him. Commentator said that the public worship of God was to godly Jews the liveliest representation of spiritual good things. Even in distant countries, they prayed toward the holy temple. And he says, believing it's David in view here, David now in exile breaks forth into his longings for communion with God. He was found far from the house of God, but yet there was a desire for fellowship with the God of heaven. And child of God, what of our desires today? Is our desire truly to meet with God, truly to commune with Him, truly to fellowship with Him? We have here that the psalmist, by focusing his attention on the Lord, wanted to receive the comfort of the Lord. He wanted to receive the comfort of the Lord. He was in a difficult place. He was disheartened. And we see in verse 5, his soul was cast down. And this was a reason why he desired the Lord. In previous psalms, Psalm 11, for example, the psalmist is discouraged with the attack of men, and he finds comfort in the Lord. In Psalm 18, we'll turn back to it, and the psalmist again is in a difficult place. And he reminds himself, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The psalmist is focusing upon the Lord. Why? Because the source of his comfort came from God. The source of his comfort came from God. And in this difficult season, in this troublesome period, he needed to know the comfort that came from God alone. 1 Peter 5 and the verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Care and comfort comes from the Lord. And we see the comfort that comes from the Lord further down this psalm as well. We'll come to it in a few moments. The psalmist is praying for help. He's hoping, he's looking to God. And child of God, our attention should always be on the Lord. We need to be consecrated to Him. We need to have communion with Him. We need in this life to experience His comfort and His help. But notice secondly here, the affection in this desire. The affection in this desire. Notice what verse 1 says. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The psalmist here uses an illustration about a hart or a deer to emphasize his very deep desire and his longing for the Lord. And the hart or the deer has a need to go after the water brooks. We can think after perhaps a strenuous journey, or perhaps after being hunted, The animal is hot, the animal is thirsty, the animal needs refreshment, and he desires and pants after the water brooks. That desire for fresh streams of living water to its body. And so the psalmist here is saying that he needs the fresh streams of living water to his soul. That's what he needs. That's what he needs. There is a sincere desire here for the Lord. Great affection, great love is coming to the surface. And he declares that his soul thirsts for God. Child of God, this morning, is your soul thirsting for the Lord? Is your soul panting after the Lord? Is your soul desirous of meeting with the Lord? Hear the psalmist. In exile, we could say, away from the ordinances of the worship of God, has this great desire to meet with God. And when we think of a thirst, well, thirst is something that we've all experienced. Perhaps due to the heat of the day or from work or sport, we found ourselves in need of refreshing water. I maybe said to you before that when I was in Australia around nearly 3 years ago, I got, a couple of days casual work laboring around a house. And they give me a spade or a shovel. They give me a trailer full of compost and soil. And I had to put it all along the flower beds. And it was difficult work. Especially when the temperature was about 35 degrees plus. And I remember starting that work just after having a break from other work. And about 10 minutes later, I was extremely thirsty. And I got a drink. 10 minutes later, I needed another drink. And the heat of the day was such that you needed that water. I kept a track of how much water I drank, and just on the job, not in the morning, not in the evening, just on the job, I drank 10 liters of water that day. And that would be too much probably for this climate, but with the work and with all that was going on, I needed that. My body needed that. Why did my body need that? In order to survive, in order to live, there was a need. There was a need. The psalmist here is saying that his soul needs the Lord. His soul is thirsty for God, therefore his soul needs the Lord. He's saying here as well that when we think of thirst, if I had not bothered to drink that day, and the next day I thought there's no need to drink, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, you would have found my grave in some little part of Australia, because water is what keeps us alive. Our body needs water to survive. When we think of that, the psalmist's thirst here is acknowledging his need for God and the fact that in order to live, in order to survive, he needs the Lord. And child of God, we have a need for the Lord. We have a need for the Lord, in order to live, in order to be alive spiritually, we need the Lord, and therefore our souls should thirst after Him. Our souls should desire prayer. Our souls should desire His Word. Our souls should desire coming to the house of God to meet with Him. This was a very real and true desire that the psalmist had. A sincere desire. Notice what verse 2 says. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. His soul thirsted for the living God. Not a false idol. Not some sort of fake God like many worshipped. But the only one who could truly satisfy. The only one who could truly satisfy. This morning as we meet here, perhaps you've never trusted in Christ. You've never looked to Him for salvation. You've never turned and repented of your sin. Your soul still needs the Lord. Your soul needs the Savior, or your soul will perish eternally. There is that desire or that need for Christ. Will you turn today? Will you repent of your sin? Will you satisfy your soul by looking on to the Lord Jesus Christ? The psalmist here, there's a sincerity in this affection, but there's also a strength in this affection. The psalmist is indicating that, yes, his soul needs the Lord, but he recognizes that he needs Him. He needs Him to live. He needs Him to be strengthened. When we're thirsty, well, we become weak. When we're thirsty, our strength begins to go. And the psalmist here, when he's thirsting for God, he needs the strength of the Lord. He needs the strength of the Lord. We see in verse 2 at the very end there, it says, when shall I come and appear before God? There is that desire to be found in the presence of God, at the worship of God. Because his soul was thirsty for God, there was a desire to be there. But then we see, thirdly here, the affirmation in this desire. The affirmation in this desire. In verse 4, we have the evidence that this desire is very real. We have the evidence that this desire is very real. Firstly, we have a mourning. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. And the psalmist here is mourning. And that is an evidence that his desire is real. That his desire is sincere, that his soul really thirsts for God. Because there is that mourning. Others have said, where is thy God? And he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. There is a mourning because he was not found at the public worship of God. There's a mourning because his soul desired these things and he was not there. He was not there. There's a mourning. There's also a memory. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Connected to the mourning, he remembers those past days. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With a voice of joy and praise. With the multitude that kept holy day. He could look back. And there in the old days, when circumstances were different, he was found there at the house of God. He was found in the worship of God. He was rejoicing with the people of God. We have here his participation. His participation. One striking thing in this world is that many professing Christians don't regard the worship of God as something that is important or necessary. Like the psalmist, there is no desire. Unlike the psalmist, there is no desire. The heart of the psalmist is not their heart. But as the people of God, may the heart of the psalmist be the heart that we have. A heart that pants after God. A heart that thirsts after God. He participated. He was found there. This week, I came across something I've read many times, but about Scottish conventicles. Back in the 1600s, there was much opposition to Episcopalianism or, well, Anglicanism in Scotland. Hence, well, the majority of Scots would be Presbyterian in nature rather than Episcopalian. That would be the majority. The Church of Scotland would be based on Presbyterianism. And in those days, there was pressure from King Charles II. For the people to conform to Episcopalianism. And there were many who came to meet together at conventicles away from the public eye, away from the watch of the authorities, miles from civilization. I went to one of those sites a number of years ago. And, well, today, even with the roads and the, well, expanse of our various towns and cities there in Scotland, it's still quite some distance from civilization. And we went for a walk and we found a place where there was a hill, there was this rock jutting out. And that rock back in those days was a pulpit. And the preacher got up and he preached to the throng of people that had gathered there. They met together. Why? Because they wanted to worship the God of heaven. And they wanted to meet with the Lord. Like the psalmist, their soul thirsteth for God. And their particular circumstances did not prevent them from coming to meet with the God of heaven. They believed that the way they worshipped God was pure. Otherwise, they'd been found conforming themselves to the king's authority. But when we think of that, such was their desire to participate in the worship of God. They went to those places, putting their lives perhaps at risk to meet for the worship of God. There was praise here as well. There was praise. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 4. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. When he went to the house of God, when he met with God, there was joy, there was praise. Child of God, when you come and meet here, when you come and meet with the God of heaven, is there praise? Is there joy within your hearts? It's a privilege as well. And when we think of the psalmist, it was a privilege to meet with the God of heaven. It was a privilege to worship the Lord. This was a privilege that had been denied him. But he thirsted for the Lord to meet with the God of heaven in such a place as this. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that many don't have. It's a privilege many will never have. May we appreciate that privilege. And then finally we see that there was an anticipation in this desire. An anticipation in this desire. Notice just briefly, in verse number 5, he speaks to his soul. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. There was hope. The psalmist had hope. In his distressing circumstances, he had a hope. And child of God, in our circumstances, however difficult they may be, there is always a hope. There is always a hope. That hope is found in the Lord. When our soul is cast down, hope thou in God. When your soul is cast down, don't look to the circumstances. Don't look to those things around you. As the psalmist does here, he focuses on the Lord. Hope thou in God. And then there was a help. The psalmist, in anticipation, says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. May we have a desire to be with God. May we have that desire to be found when we can at his worship. May we have a desire day by day to meet with him and worship in the private place. May we have that anticipation of hope in our God and help. The help of God that covers every circumstance, every tribulation. Help that can lift us up when circumstances endeavor to pull us down. May the Lord bless his word this morning for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.